Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show. Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, this episode that you're about to hear, this next hour, is the most fun that I've had in 85 episodes of this show. Lots of laughs. One of our best friends and former teammates joins the show today, Jake Gervas. You're going to hear a lot of good stories, a lot of good times. Sit back. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. This is episode 85 of the podcast. And similar to 84, we have a pretty cool guest coming on. I won't give 85 quite the hype that 84 gives, or that 84 got. I'm gonna introduce this guy. A lot can be said, man. A lot can be said. Me and my man go back. Man, it feels like forever.
Long time. And,
hey, don't speak yet because they might know your voice. Shut up. So I'm just going to intro this guy by giving you a totem pole of MAC athletes. So at the bottom, we're going to go this guy. And then a little step up, we're going to go with his cousin who was really, really good. And then a step up from that, we're going to go like Pat Anger. And then a step up from that, call it David Johnson. Mm. But, you know, that, you know, it's a decent list that this guy makes his way onto. So I would just like to introduce the bottom of the MAC totem pole, good athletes, and my son, Jake Gervas.
What's up, Bulls?
Okay. And first of all, no. No.
Okay, I'm done. I won't.
You don't come onto this podcast and just start saying words in a different accent than they're normally said.
All right, that's my bad. It won't happen again.
Where did that come from?
I don't know, but.
But it really is good to have you on, dude, because I've been trying to get this for a long time, and for a long time you were scared, but now you got a year in the National Football League under your belt, and you're a little bit less scared. So now it's good. It's a good time to have you on.
Hold on a second. I'd like to introduce a second guest to the show. Our very own Kevin Ward. He's been Stryker actually abducted him, took him somewhere. By the looks of it, on the video, if you're watching the video version, subscribe on Patreon. Kevin looks like the 36-year-old dad whose 8-year-old son struck out 3 times in the same baseball game, all to a curveball by some opposing kid who just throws heat and junk that can't be touched. And now Kevin has to take his son home and talk to him about how he's a disappointment to the family athletically. Kevin Ward, welcome back to your own show. How you doing?
Hey man, happy to be back. It's been a while. It's the kid, he struck out sometimes, but guess what? That kid that struck him out is going to have Tommy John surgery at 15, and by 18 he's going to be a walk-on, and by 22 he's going to be a team captain, a D1 team, so it's going to be all good.
All right. Okay. Anyway, Jake, back to you. You did just finish a year in the NFL, which is so much further than us three ever got combined. How has Jake Gervais been in the time since leaving the Iowa Hawkeye program?
Been good, you know. Just wasn't really expecting to make it too far when I did the whole pro day NFL route.
We weren't expecting you to get very far.
I don't think many people.
But look where we are at.
Somehow, some way, I just keep fooling everybody.
Dude, you're so white.
I don't know how. It's crazy.
Hey, listen, man. You got in there and you worked hard and you fooled them.
Somehow, some way.
Yeah, so to those listening, this guest episode interview may go a little differently. Gervais and us three have probably a better relationship than most of the guests that we're going to bring on. Mm. So we're going to throw some jabs more than normal.
Okay.
We're going to talk way more shit than me and Drake would have dared talk to Tristan earlier in the day when we recorded with him.
But see, the thing about it is that's only because I want to punch Jake in the face way more than I want to punch Tristan.
Wow.
Oh.
I don't know anyone on the planet who'd think, you know, punching Tristan in the face would be a smart thing to do.
Yeah, they'd be poor in idea. Trouble. That'd be a dumb idea.
Poor idea.
Oh, Jake, I wouldn't put it past Drake to figure.
Yeah, Drake's pretty stupid, though, so he would do it.
Nah. Not me. I mean,
no.
Tristan, hands up, don't shoot, man.
Hands up, don't shoot.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Jake, Man, where do you guys even want to start with Jake?
I start all the way back at Assumption High School. Listen,
Roll Knights.
Listen. This is the guy who went to the trash school because he wanted to be the star when he could have gone to Bettendorf or Pleasant Valley in reality.
But we never lost to Bettendorf in the 3 years we played him when I was there. So that's something you can't say for sure.
No, I lost to him once for sure.
Yeah. And we never did. And okay. Also put a whooping on the Muskie's ass once or twice.
Listen to me. It was not a whooping. We beat them my senior year.
Because I had broken off. That,
they got us a little bit. But who got who? Who got who?
You got me, but I got you junior year. Your junior year.
We're talking about high school, and you're literally in the NFL right now.
Yeah, but it doesn't get much better.
Yeah, but listen, football. The high school is what actually matters.
And he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
I gave him his first concussion. So when he gets CTE and is drooling on himself, his wife is going to call me and be like, you know what, Drake? This is all your fucking fault because you started this.
That's actually exactly what Haley sounds like. That was very good.
Don't mock my lady friend, either of you.
Kevin,
I mean, this is all the way in like 20 years.
Kevin, and by the way, speaking of the lady friend, there's a wedding coming up.
It is. It'll be here before we know it.
It's fast approaching, and that's exciting.
July 11th.
Your life has really taken off in the past 2 years, Jake.
Some stuff has happened. It's changed quite a bit, but I'm excited about it.
Let's accelerate the normal story that we do. We usually kind of like, oh, how'd you get to Iowa? I mean, we'll talk about it, but we want to get all the way through your rookie season. So talk about quickly – you're recruiting to Iowa, how it, you know, your other opportunities coming out of high school,
yep.
And then kind of like into Iowa City.
So out of high school, I basically I wasn't really recruited at all. So basically I talked to UNI and Illinois State, and then I'd applied to some Ivy League schools. And Ivy League, all the schools at Harvard and Yale said, hey, if you get a 26 in your ACT, you're in. We got a spot for you. You're on the team. Because they don't give out scholarships in the Ivy League, right? So I got
– wouldn't know.
Yeah, they don't give out
scholarships. Who's more Ivy League between Gervais and Kevin? Because if they, like, both sit close to the camera, they're about identical.
Yeah, they kind of look like each other.
Kevin, I'm not that ugly, am I?
Oh, wow. Either of you look great. Wow. Wow. Kevin, I had the opportunity to go to Yale, so, I mean – I guess that's
Coach Batchel.
Yep.
Kevin, good dude, right? Batchel. He was a great dude.
He was a good dude.
But they both said, get a 26, you're in, took a prep course, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I call them up, like, hey, I got a 28. They're both like, all right, you're good. Like, we'll send you something in a couple of days. Then I just don't hear from either of them. So I end up calling them back, and they're like, yeah, both of them said we end up going a different route. So Ivy League's off the table.
Yikes.
Then Illinois State and you and I, who were like saying, we're going to give you this money, blah, 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 you can come. I like messaged them. They're both like, yeah, we went a different route. You could walk on here.
Hey, a lot of different routes happening.
Gervais, you take all the opportunity you want to mushroom stamp Farley.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't a fan of his anyway, so I'm glad I never went that route. But then I had one offer from Air Force. And they call me like, yeah, we're going to offer you. I'm like, all right, this is sick. I'm going to go out there on Monday.
Dude,
You're like,
this is literally like my fucking recruiting trail. Like, you know, like you just follow me around the map. You just want to be me so badly, don't you?
I mean, I'm doing all right.
Kevin has told the story of how Air Force was his only other offer. And he was 100% in that he was going to go drop freedom bombs on the ISIS regime.
Well, Kevin would have fit in very well at Air Force, but I didn't get the opportunity because they did a medical background check.
Did they go a different route?
Yeah, it went a different route because
they found out that you're a pussy.
No, it was nothing about that. It was just found out I had food allergies. So I get a call and they're like, yeah, we got to pull your scholarship. So I walked.
You got your Air Force scholarship pulled because you have food allergies.
I'm allergic to onions, so they pulled my scholarship.
What?
Ended up walking on at the University of Iowa, and it was the best decision of my life. isn't that bullshit, though?
That's maybe the best story that's ever
been told. And onions, the most random thing ever. I never knew you were allergic to onions.
I didn't either.
So trash. They just pulled it. Like, I was supposed to go on an official on a Monday, and they called me on Sunday. They're like, yeah, like, we can't have you out of here because you can't clear our medical stuff, so you're done.
Oh, Jesus.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, so rattled.
I'm fucking rattled. Right. I'm rattled right now.
Oh,
so literally at this point, you're like, fuck, I only can walk on at Iowa. I hope this one works out.
And the only reason that happened was because Coach Morgan, as you all know, one of the most legendary coaches at Iowa, he coached my high school coach when my high school coach was in high school. So he coached him in high school. So that was the reason I even got a walk on was because they had that connection. And Coach Morgan came to my high school a couple times and probably saw me beat up on Drake's ass once or twice. And then they offered me a walk on.
Well, there you go.
And I had no other option. So I said, all right, I'm going to go to Iowa.
So you,
who
you
broke your called... arm, Jake? Just for measure. Who broke your arm, Jake?
I don't remember, Drake.
You don't. So now you're alive. It was. Hey, do you not remember? Because the year prior, I knocked you out. Actually,
who won that game? Who got beat by a shitty sophomore quarterback that weighed 145 pounds?
Jake, if you could flash
a deposit of
your weekly paycheck from this last season, you could shut the whole conversation up right here.
Finished.
Yeah,
Mike.
So you called. Coach Morgan or Coach Ferentz up and said, hey, so hopefully there's not any different routes happening and I'd like to play for the Hawkeyes.
They stuck with their route. So they ended up bringing me on, like, you know, it's an official visit, but it's like just the walk-ons that are there. Right.
We were there.
Yeah, me and Kevin, we were there. All about it.
We were all there. It was the best weekend of probably their whole recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
They got me, Brandon Bishop.
Okay, so I hosted Bishy. Who was your host?
Riley McCarron.
Okay.
But we got after it, too.
Where did we go? Where did we go that weekend?
I don't even know
if you were with us.
I'm going to assume that there was some union.
I don't think I made it to the bar. So we went to a house party at.
Yes, we did. Yes,
George
we did.
George and CJ's at Miller.
No, we went to a different house party.
Sounds about right.
Oh, maybe night one. But one night we went to 8:30 Miller. Oh, my God. I was lights out on the beer pong table.
8:30 Miller needs to be wiped off the map. Miller needs to be fucked.
They made some changes.
Yeah, have you guys seen the Snapchats from Brady?
It looks good.
The place looks inhabitable now.
It does.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
We went there that night, and then I don't think I even made it downtown. I think got after a little bit too much and went back to the old Hilton Hotel and packed it in. But it was a great visit.
Wow. All right. So now – and so the Gervas Eagle lands in Iowa City.
Oh, injured. And
injured, yeah.
And I met him, and I met Gervas outside of high school at the student-athlete kickoff tailgate, which we all hated being at, except for all worst. It did was that it marked the end of camp, which isn't always the worst thing, obviously. But, yeah, Gervas was in his sling and shit, and I was just looking at him like, man.
This kid's going to last a week.
Yeah, I was like, good luck, kid, is really like – kind of what I thought.
I had the sling. I had here the long,
we are,
dude. I thought
long,
you were
blonde hair.
I thought you were such a fairy, dude. I thought
such
like,
a fairy.
The hell is this
the
Justin
fairy that
Bieber
came
motherfucker?
In the sling. I was like, oh man, this kid doesn't stand a chance.
No chance.
So yeah, come in injured, and my surgeon on my shoulder did it. He was back in Davenport, so like they wouldn't let me work out or anything when I first got here until that doctor cleared me. So like, every morning I'm texting. Or I'm asking Coach Joel, like, hey, when can I start lifting with the freshman? When can I start doing stuff at practice? Blah, 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 right? He's like, I'll let you know. So we're like 3 weeks in. I haven't done anything yet. So Sam Brinks is my roommate. I get a call from him at like 6:30 in the morning. He's like, dude, you're supposed to be here for FMS. I'm like, I still don't really know anybody yet. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, your name's on the sheet. You were supposed to be here. So I rush over to the old complex. And I remember walking, it was like the whole freshman class was in there.
Do you have anxiety right now?
Oh my God, my heart drops. Yeah, I'm on the verge of tears. And I walk in, he tells me, where have you been? I'm like, I didn't think I was coming to this stuff yet. He's like, your name's on the sheet. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know. He's like, take your shirt off. He takes my body fat in front of everybody. By this point, I've been pounding Gatorade shakes. Not working out, but those little metal shakes that we used to have.
Oh, I miss those. The originals. So much.
Yeah. The best.
So good. I got up to like 210. I think my body fat was like 26. In front of the whole freshman class, dude. I remember he's like, how old are you? I'm like 18. He's like, you need to start acting like it. And that was my introduction to like all my classmates, to the strength staff. And then I had to push the wood after with a messed up shoulder and a bad hip. And I almost quit that day.
Oh, my God.
Dude, it was a tough first couple months here. I hated it.
What a story, man.
And do you guys remember the old weight room had the plug-ins in the ground?
Yeah, I pushed the wood.
I would hit that and just, like, fall forward on my face. And I remember, like, Sam Brinks – Parker Hesse, they're all sitting there like making those old shakes you'd have to make yourself.
Yep. Put some apples.
They're just looking at me like this poor guy. And I'm like pushing the wood with tears in my eyes, like getting ready to pack my bags and get the hell out of Dodge.
Wow.
That was my introduction to Iowa football. It was a rough start, boys.
Quick anecdote. Pushing the wood was a punishment. It's more embarrassment.
No, it's not more embarrassment. It hurts bad.
Yeah, but it's embarrassing.
But it hurts bad.
It's demeaning for sure.
You get a 2x4, except for it's not like a long ass 2x4. It's like a 2 foot long piece of wood. It's a wood plank, and you put it down on the ground, and a weight room floor is rubber flooring. And so that thing don't just go too well. And you just push it from one side of the room to the other until they tell you not to push it anymore. And there were a few guys who pushed the wood around a little bit. Mm. Some did it several times. Never had to. I can't believe they made you push it with a hurt shoulder.
And a bad hip. I messed up my hip in baseball. I had a bad, like, not a hernia, but I had a hip flexor area. And I pushed it down and back probably 20 times. And that was my introduction to Iowa football, and I was this close to quitting.
Wow.
Tough stuff.
So
damn shame you didn't.
So you got through it. How was that first? So how was that first camp then? Was it like as traumatic as?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't. You didn't put the pads on until bowl prep that year.
Not even I remember. The pads.
I could not get you off my hip because you asked me about a billion questions about every single drill we did. And I was like, dude, gotcha. What have you been fucking watching all year?
I was trying to learn from my fellow white safety.
I know, but I was like, at the same time, dude, like, have you not been watching practice for the past 3 months?
You know how Kevin is.
I know. I was not a very good person or a very good leader.
Kevin was still a safety at this time. And literally the dad of Jake Gervais, basically the mentor for that first 2 years. I mean,
for the first 5 years, he just
hit not 5 years, boys. I'll give him a year or two.
Who's daddy, Jake? Who's daddy?
Definitely not you anymore. You're the one paying me rent.
Oh, shit. Ooh. That was kind of a mic drop.
I'm not going to lie. Who's the one that begged me to move in?
I did. I wanted Kevin to move in with the boys.
And it's because you're really – you love each other, right?
No, Kevin was, he was, I'm not going to call him my daddy, but he was a good mentor for the first couple years. I mean, I didn't know what Tempo 1 was, and I would ask him every day in meetings what the calls and checks were, and he was the smartest guy in the room, and he helped me out, so I appreciate it.
I still don't know that, Tempo that always is. Stood true. Kevin was always the smartest guy in the room.
Sometimes for better, sometimes for worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you made it. Eventually, when did you crawl out of the shit? When did you feel like, okay, I'm gonna be good here?
Probably. I mean, be good. What do you mean by be good?
Like you didn't want to quit anymore.
Like the point where like you feel like you kind of like established a little bit of a presence in the program. Like I fit in here. Like I can work here. For me, it was
grasp the daily stuff.
For me, I think it was after my first spring ball. You know, you get the lay of the land, and you start taking some reps. Like, okay, yeah, I think I can play here.
I would say it's pretty similar. Either first spring ball or my first camp, which would have been my second year there, was when I thought I had an idea, like a chance, and I definitely thought I fit in. But, oh, man, I got another funny story if you want it.
Oh, we want them all, dude. I love laughing.
This is either my first spring ball or my second spring ball. I want to say it was probably second.
Before you start, if this is anything as good as the Onion story, this is undisputed best episode of all time. Story is as good as Onions,
it's pretty good. It's okay. Bad.
Just tell
you have the floor.
So it's spring ball. I'm like finally starting to get some reps. I want to say this is probably my first spring ball. So the first time I was put on pads, been there at all. And finally get some rest. We head into the spring game. And I remember it was like right before heading out, I'm texting my parents. I'm like, hey, we're walking out. And just so like they could, you know, see us in the line or whatever. And as I'm doing that, Coach Parker walks by, sees me on my phone in the locker room, which is a huge no-no for him. And he's like, you know, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you on your phone? Put it away.
That's a great.
So if you know Coach Parker, all mistakes tie back to something, right? So later in the spring game, I'm getting some reps. It is
Oh, my God. I think I know what you're talking about.
You know.
I absolutely know. I can't wait.
We're getting some reps, and it's Tempo 1, 3x1. I give a Mustang call, and I don't take George Kittle vertical. He number 3 goes vertical. The free safety from the backside takes him, whatever it is. Don't take him vertical. He catches it for, like, 25 yards, whatever. A couple plays later, we give it a cover 3 call. And I'm the deep middle of the field safety, and we're in the red zone. So kind of a silly call in the red zone to call a cover 3, right? Well, I think I do a normal cover 3 drop. I think I'm all right and blah, blah, blah. So then we finish the scrimmage, and Coach Parker brings up the whole defense and says, I got my free safety on his phone before, and he won't take a tight end vertical in this dumb mama. Rips my ass in front of everybody, right? I'm like, all right, that sucked, but I'll be okay.
Next day in meetings.
Get off the field, next day
in meetings. This is the best thing ever.
In front of the entire defense.
whole defense. And I am like, all right, the Mustang call comes up. I'm like, yeah, I should have taken a vertical, made a mistake, first reps, blah, blah, blah. Then he pulls up the cover three call in the red zone. And he goes, pulls it up, plays it, rewinds it, plays it, rewinds it. He goes, anybody notice anything here? Anybody notice anything about this clip? And Jordan Lomax is up in the front, you know, senior captain, starting free safety, guy I'm trying to learn from. He goes, yeah, we defense is 10 guys in the field right now. Turns out your boy had backpedaled out of the end zone, out by the goalpost.
We only got 10 fucking guys on the field right now.
Oh, man. Kevin remembers in meeting. I'm just sitting there just like this. Like, I'm the new guy on campus. Nobody knows who I am, and I backed off the fucking field in a football game. We're in a live scrimmage. And I remember I ripped my ass. Everybody's just like, you know, we can't have this, blah, blah, blah. And then he finds me like 2 days later in the cafeteria is like, you know, I didn't mean to call you out, but I just needed to stress that. And that was another point. That was probably the second point. I was like, you know, maybe I can't do this. Maybe it's time for me to retire from the old game of football and call it a day. But that was another low point where I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it in this program.
Good old public shaming. You got to love it.
I remember.
He tied it back to since I was on my phone before the scrimmage.
Yeah.
It was back.
I can hear Coach Parker saying, this stupid motherfucker.
Oh, dude.
I remembered the ending to that story partway through it.
Oh, man.
Dude, how did you backpedal off the field?
I was fatigued. It was a cover three in the red zone. You know, as Doyle says, when you get tired, your fundamentals break down. Like, it was just a
tough. He was playing deeper than the deepest, man.
I wasn't getting beat, that's for damn sure.
It's a new rule. It's a new rule, deeper than the field goal.
I wasn't getting beat deep. I could guarantee you that.
If Coach Parker really thinks they're going to run like a middle seam, they just or like a post, he's just going to call Gervais coverage.
Dude, and then he would like every year he would pull it up once in camp. He would pull it up my senior year. He pulled up my senior year and like tell all these young guys, he's like, look how far this guy's come. Like, his dumbass couldn't be on the field, blah, blah, blah. Like, he was good for it once a year of showing that clip. But it was my low point.
To be fair, he didn't do that only to you. Like, he did that to like all like the pros. Oh. Like, when Micah Hyde was like going off, he'd pull up old clips of him. He's like, look at this dumb fucker. He didn't even know how to play. He didn't know how to line up.
Mm-hmm. Everybody. He does it to everybody.
Kind of touting himself. He's like, yeah, I mean, this guy didn't know shit about shit. Now he's fucking making millions of dollars.
Jim Thorpe, I mean, All-American stud, yeah.
I mean, as we've said, Parker's goat.
He is.
Oh, for sure.
The man was born to teach people how to play defense in the game of football, and he does a really good job at it.
He does. Been doing it for a long time.
This is pretty much a Phil Parker love podcast.
Yeah, we stroke him pretty good here. Man, I mean, I hate to go over like the normal storyline of like what we usually do here because there's so much with Gervais. It's probably going to end up being like a second or third episode that we need to really get everything out. But then I guess just take us through about that point. You get through there, you know, you go through your second season, your redshirt sophomore or your redshirt freshman year. And then like,
which year was the Rose Bowl?
Rose Bowl was redshirt freshman, so I was like,
that would have been that year.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least you can be thankful you didn't quit because you just went to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that was a good time. I didn't get a step on the field with the Bulls, but I was on the roster. Wouldn't have done that.
Okay, and again with the word.
Yeah.
Let's get to the point where you finally. It's probably that next year, I believe. Yeah, it would have been our fourth year, your third year, where the Savage back makes an appearance on special teams and you start to get some playing time. What was that like? Talk about, because as much as like shit, we're going to shit talk you and the people who've listened have heard, you are probably one of the examples that Coach Doyle talks about a lot. KF probably brings you up a fair amount now in the program as well. Walk on, mm-hmm. Kid from Iowa, you know, the story that you just told. And then all of a sudden you're on the field. Talk about that mentality and the work ethic and the grind to get reps.
Yeah, it was just like all you guys, you know, you're first couple of years, you're not expecting to play, but once you start getting the mix of things, they'll start with special teams and you try to get on the depth chart and then climb from there. So it was that redshirt sophomore year. Jordan Lomax graduated, trying to compete for a starting safety job. Didn't end up getting that, but, you know, started in all four phases of special teams, which was – it was a start. It wasn't where I wanted to be, but to be a fellow Savage back with the man, Kevin Ward, was a good good place to start. And I knew it wasn't the end goal, but it definitely felt good, you know, getting back on the field, competing and being on all four phases of special teams for that would have been 2016 year.
Yep.
So that was a good start. And then I knew going into the next year, the guy that was playing in front of me was the same age, but I was just going to have to, you know, keep working, keep grinding, doing things the right way. And at some point, one way or another, I'd get an opportunity, got that opportunity, which would have been your guys' senior year.
Yep.
During the spring. Had a decent little spring game where the defense kicked the shit out of the offense. And then, got to start that 2017 year to kick off the year.
Didn't you go off?
Hey, Jake, your laundry's done.
Yeah, your laundry's done. I just heard that one.
Thanks, fellas.
Now you're in the league. You still do your own laundry? Or?
Oh, yeah. I got to pack it up. Heading to Florida tonight, so I had to do a quick load.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Hey guys, yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Is that the spring game that, like, you went off? You had, like, three picks or something stupid?
Yeah.
Okay, we won't talk about that.
Yeah. But that was the first annual crawfish boil, which is arguably the best weekend in Iowa City I've ever had.
Dude,
Friday night.
We don't need to tell all those stories.
Oh, spring game.
My first annual.
The boys went out, and then the crawfish boil on that Saturday at your guys' house, too.
Yeah. The Paulsons, man, they did it up good. They came with the idea. It was like, hey, let's just have a crawfish boil, celebrate the end of spring ball. There's literally no better day of the year is when the boys all decide to celebrate the end of spring ball.
The feeling of spring ball ending is arguably the best.
It is arguably better than, you know, like winning a game, winning the Big Ten West, going to, like, it was pretty fucking good, boys. And you knew it came every year eventually.
Yeah, spring ball is the season for no reason, and everybody just hates that 5 weeks of grind.
I mean, there might have been a time where Mark Wiseman left his house in the hands of three walk-on freshman football players while he went downtown. And those three walk-on football players might have been Kevin Ward, the one called Manders, and myself. And we were very confused at why Mark and Macon Plevo were leaving their house in our hands. But we took full advantage of it.
Oh, for sure.
And that was the night of the spring ball game, our first spring ball. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, Kevin, he was like really cool. He's like, oh, you're staying here? Sweet.
Yeah, he was like, awesome.
He's all about it.
Kevin, are you holding a Dunkin' Donuts gift card in your hand?
No, I'm just playing around with my credit cards.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, you play around with credit cards fairly often. Strikers, to be exact.
Big time.
So you finally get on the field. That was, like you said, your redshirt junior season, our last season.
Yep.
You finally make it, and you start getting reps at safety, and then you started at safety just your senior year, or did you
play? No, so I started first game of the year against Wyoming in your guys' senior year, had a really good game, played well.
Yeah.
Infamous double move up in Ames, Iowa, where your boy bit hard. You guys remember?
The double move wasn't great.
Got beat.
Double move wasn't
one.
Great, but I mean, could have had some help there by somebody else, but your boy got exposed, and ended up getting benched the following game for a couple games, which was tough, but probably in the long run, one of the better things that happened to me in my football career. And then I think I started the last 7 games of that year and then my whole senior year.
How was senior year and making it to that? It's like a coveted season, right? Mm-hmm. So we just talked about it with Tristan. And for those that listen to the Tristan podcast, if you haven't, we talked about his decision to go into the league. And his biggest thing was on his goals every year was to make it to senior day and to have his mom out on the field. And, you know, decided to forego that decision and obviously go make a little money.
Forgonded,
yeah. Wakanda forever. He didn't get to experience that, but the reason that's so special to people is because it's so touted, highly touted by KF and Doyle as just an elite group of people to make that senior year. Talk about that and just finally making it to the end of the program and how Iowa really changed you as a man and molded you.
Molded me. It was awesome. You know, going into senior year, based off of what had happened in the past, I never felt like I was locked in as a starter, you know, just kind of in that back of your mind. So it's a good
walk-on mentality, man.
It is. Yeah. It's a good and bad thing because it can mess with your confidence, but it also like keeps you hungry, which is a good thing. So going into senior year, knew we had a good group of guys, really talented team. And it, you know, was a year that kind of could have been a special year. Had some ups and downs as a team, but you know, I felt like I was playing some really good football. You know, getting to senior day is special because I think my class probably started with 28 guys. It's usually around then. And then for senior day, we only had 13 guys, you know, from our class. We lost Miles Taylor and Ben didn't redshirt, and then Josh Jackson entered the draft early. But other than that, between our freshman class of close to 30 guys, only 12 or 13 of us made it to senior day. So it's definitely something special. It was really cool. Like you said, you know, running out in the field, meeting your parents at midfield, a lot of work, a lot of time, not just, you know, by yourself, but with a great group of guys. And it was special to finish on a high note in Kinnick our senior year with the good old Miguel Racinos knocking down a game winner at home to seal that last game.
Dude, our kickers love kicking game winners against Nebraska. It's so incredible.
Which I don't know, Jake, if you listened to the Miguel Racinos episode, but he, minutes before that kick, pissed his pants.
That's what I heard. That blows my mind.
Yeah, and then he went out and smoked one through.
Just drilled it. I didn't even watch. I was too scared to watch.
The long leg Latino came through for the Hawkeyes.
I'll tell you what it feels like to lose on your senior day, Jake, and it's bad.
Bad.
It's bad.
It's a triple bad from the walk-ons.
We lost to Purdue.
We lost to Purdue.
Oh, man, that was a bad game.
That was a really bad game, boys.
Secondary got torched.
Yeah, I was going to say, I doubt Coach Parker was real happy after that week.
It was the same thing my senior year.
We got that dude from Purdue drafted like 3 rounds earlier than he probably should have been.
They just put our game up on his highlight tape.
Literally.
We had a couple block. I mean, the loss to Purdue my senior year was bad too. I don't want to talk about it, but
yeah,
tough times.
Tough times. There are some tough times. There are some good times too. What are some of your favorite memories? What's your favorite game? Favorite
Outback
just
Bowl.
Overall? The Outback Bowl beat Mississippi State?
Yeah, I mean, that was just – I couldn't have asked for it to go on any better besides dropping a pick that I should have caught.
Hit you right in the face, dude.
Right in the face. Sun was in my eyes.
I don't want to hear your excuses.
I was beat for a touchdown. The dude dropped it, and I picked it off. Yeah.
Right in front of your fan section there.
85 family and friends at that game to end their career in the black and gold.
Because that's pretty interesting.
I've got a picture where it's got me like just before I catch the pick and like my whole family's in the background. It's pretty sick.
That's insane. That ended your career as a Hawkeye. That's just a storybook moment.
That ended my career as a Hawkeye. I thought it was going to be my last time ever putting on some pads and strapping up. But if that was the case, it would have been a good way to end it.
Yeah, we were damn sure of it too. We had the fourth seat to this podcast already open.
Dude, I already had a spot lined up for you. You were going to be my associate, and then you decided to fuck everything up.
No, you can't blame me.
So let's talk about that. Let's roll into there. You obviously, as a guy who makes it to that fifth year, never going to pass up the opportunity to train with the one and only Coach Doyle and your brothers for an extra 3-4 months mm-hmm. in Iowa City, especially in our case, me and Kevin's case, no school. There was no responsibility.
I was on the opposite spectrum of that, boys.
Yeah, so for you it was different, but Kevin and I literally woke up.
We played Fortnite.
Trained at 9:30 every morning, and then came home and played Fortnite
for
until
14 hours. Yeah, I remember it was you, Josie, Kevin, Ike.
It was a good few months, boys.
Oh my god,
best semester ever.
Can't get much better than that.
Yeah, it didn't end up well for two out of the four that you mentioned. You're talking to him,
but you could say end up as expected.
Yeah, as expected. You ran that race and you trained in Iowa City for Pro Day. Take us through that spring and kind of the thought process of where you were at in life and what you were trying to really get out of that whole situation.
Yeah. So for a long time, I wasn't planning on training at all. I was planning on finishing senior year, finishing grad school and, you know, hanging up the cleats. But then, you know, senior year, it kind of felt like I was getting better, playing better football. And figured I would probably regret if I didn't give it a shot. So that spring I was like, all right, I'm gonna train, give everything I got. And I was also in 15 hours of grad school. So that was not a fun time for that.
You had 15 hours?
Yeah, because I had to take – if I didn't finish that spring, I knew I wasn't going to come back. So in my mind, I was like, I'm either going to just drop out or I'm going to take 15 credits, finish, and graduate. So I took the 15 credits that spring while I was training and finished grad school. But no, training was so fun. You guys know, like once you're in that position, workouts are more laid back. Coaches are more laid back. It's just, you're just lifting weight and trying to run fast with your boys, which is super fun. So that was a fun couple of months. And then pro day came around, felt really good. Felt like I was kind of in the best shape of my life and, you know, went out in pro day and did everything I could have done. And if you look at it a couple months later, it must not have been enough because I didn't have many options. But, no, Pro Day was super fun and went well.
Go for it, Kev. I saw your mouth open.
Oh, I just burped.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something, add value to the podcast.
No, I don't do that.
I should never count on you.
No,
for that.
I don't think I'm better that highly of them.
So here's how the story
What I've gotten from Jake Gervais's football story is just the – I almost quit story over and over again.
Yeah.
Rises from the dead. I almost quit.
You're a fucking phoenix, action. Man.
Yeah, but I don't know. I say that. I don't know if I ever could have quit. You know what I mean? It's just like,
right.
You get to the point,
I know that
everybody's been there.
Yeah.
You run that race. Pro day happens. It's awesome. You feel special. You got the name on your special pro day gear.
Yep.
All the guys, there's, you know, 30 to 40 scouts there, coaches, and you feel good. What in your mind, did you expect to get a call? Had anyone like called and talked, like asked for your draft day info? Was there like, what was some of that?
I was getting some nibbles. Like I probably talked to, leading up to draft day, I probably talked to 5 teams.
Okay.
And they were the basic name, number, where are you going to be? Yep. It wasn't anything in depth. It wasn't finding out if I'm a, you know, high character guy or any of that stuff. It was the bear of the bear contact.
Were the Rams one of those teams?
Nope.
Interesting. Nope. So draft comes along.
Oh, worst day ever. And
would you think your name was going to get called?
No, but I had no, of course not. It was just a long day of just waiting, right?
The third day.
The third day, yeah.
Yeah.
I had no intention of getting called ever, getting my name called. I did have an intention of – I thought I'd put out some good film. I thought I'd performed well on pro day. I was like, I'm going to get – I think I'll get signed as an undrafted free agent. Like
to try and make a camp.
Yeah, I thought I would have some options to sign as an undrafted free agent as soon as, like, the seventh round ends. Just – blank, just nothing on the old cell phone.
Hey,
been there.
Similar.
Been there.
Tough boys.
So, gosh, you're bringing it. Yeah, you're bringing out some feelings.
I kept
looking at my phone too, because I had two teams contact me, same stuff, and I thought, oh, I started for 4 years.
Yeah, you get a shot.
Never threw one over anybody's head. Thank you, Corn Breath, for being 6'7". Minnesota, 2014. Check the tape. And I thought, man, I think, you know, Casey is in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I think I got a shot. And nobody ever came knocking down this door.
Crickets.
Kevin got a regional tryout with the Bears, I think.
Yay.
And Drake was literally a wounded rabbit. For
don't call me a rabbit. That's
respectful
as fuck.
Drake, did I beat you in bench reps at Pro Day?
I got 7.
Okay, I just want to double check.
So all three of us did.
What a low dig there.
I'm just kidding, Drake.
Because I got 22.
I got 7.
Yeah, Kevin beat me by 2 or 1 or 2, whatever it was.
I got 22, that's right, because I wanted to go for Jordan. I was one short.
Yeah, I got 22 as well.
So I just want to claim the record for the best pro day ever the Monday before actual pro day.
Balled so out.
I just moved pro day up a week. I balled the fuck out.
Now
there's Drake, an asterisk next to that, you know.
Yeah. Now, Drake. Now, Drake.
No.
I get what you guys are getting at.
Now, Drake, were you clean? Were you clean, Drake?
5th.
Okay.
Plead the 5th.
I plead the 5th on that one. All right. So then what's it like, Jake? How long did you wait?
Yeah, so that night, I ended up getting a call from the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, that's a badass one, at least.
Well, you would think, but like when I first thought I was talking to like the DB coach, it was like the great guy, but he was like a step above like the janitors. Like he,
they had the. The DB film breakdown guy called.
It might have been.
Hey, I know y'all have an exact guy at Iowa in mind. If
we're all thinking
about the exact same dude, I'll be shocked.
Oh yeah, I know exactly.
Yeah, but so I get a call from him. He's like, "We love to bring you out." I'm like, "Yeah, man. Like, I got no other option, so I'm there. Like, count me in. I'm gonna go to your rookie mini camp tryout, and I'm gonna try to get signed." And went there, played well, but they weren't. I think they signed one guy at a, like 60. But then as I'm leaving there, my agent calls and say, "Hey, you got a trial with the Rams next week." And the Rams, like, don't do a mini camp. They did. I was like, all right, once again, it's my only option. I'm in. I'll go. Right. So most – like the Raiders, it was like a 3-day mini camp. Oh, I got a good story for there too. You want to hear that quick? It's pretty fun.
Go for it.
Go for it.
I know you got a great John Gruden impression, Kluver, so you might need it. Give me a little voiceover, but
haven't done it in a while. I can pull it out.
It's the third day. it's the third day of camp, or it's the second day. It's the third day of camp before we go out in the field, and Gruden's putting up some examples of like hard work and like effort stuff, right?
Spider two eye banana.
Yeah, a little bit of that voice, and so all of a sudden my name pops up on the. He's putting name and then the clip from practice that he likes, right?
Wow.
All of a sudden my last name pops up on the screen, but instead of saying Jake, it says Jack. And he puts my name up there. He's like, "Jack Gervais, man, this is the effort we need right here." And I'm sitting there like, I don't want to say, "Hey, my name's Jake," but like, this dude didn't even know my first name. And he puts up a clip of me like running down a receiver, but he keeps saying Jack. He's like, "That's Iowa tough right there, Jack Gervais."
You know what, man?
I tell you what, man.
This guy, Jack Gervais,
man. I'm like, dude, just get my name right at least.
Jack Gervais, man, out of Iowa, the Hawkeyes, you know, 2015.
Gervais. You're right. They didn't need to learn it until I started doing anything, man. It's the Coach Wallace story. So, yeah, That was a funny story. But leave there, end up going to L.A. the following week. They don't do a mini camp. They did a 45-minute workout on the field.
Wow.
That was it. It was individual drill, two special teams drills. And, you know, I must have done something right because I was the only one they signed out of that tryout. And so I got signed.
You were the miracle, dude. Everybody talks about those tryouts as, you know, you got to hit a miracle.
Yeah, and you even talk, like, my safety coach all year, he'd be like, we just brought people in because we have to. We weren't planning on signing anybody. So I just got super lucky with that where I did well enough in that tryout where they signed me back. And then, yeah, I went home. So that tryout was on, like, a Friday. I went home Friday night back to Iowa, packed my bags, and went back out to L.A. on Sunday for OTAs.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I got so lucky.
At that point, what are you guaranteed? So that you get OT.
Yeah, at that point, you're technically never guaranteed anything. But unless right. you do something stupid or you get hurt, like you're going to be on the team through OTAs, which was 5 weeks of practice and lifting, like 4 days a week. Had weekends off and stuff out in LA. And OTAs is actually pretty fun. I mean, it's a lot of learning and learning new defense and meeting new guys and stuff. But yeah, you're guaranteed through that OTA. You know, span.
Okay. So you go through OTAs, and I mean, you do well, obviously. Had to have.
Yep.
What was the, and that was around what time? That was like.
It was, it's all of May and half of June. So.
Yeah, May and June, right?
Yeah, so I went out early May, and then I got back June 14th was when I came back to – you get like a month and a half break before camp.
And do they tell you – is there a group of guys who are in OTAs that don't come to camp, or do basically everybody come to camp?
I think everybody came back with like one guy, one rookie okay. or something. So, yeah, if you're healthy, they're going to bring you back for camp at the end of July.
And at that point, it's just how many cuts can I last?
Well, now there's only one cut.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But at that point,
so
going back into camp, I knew it was going to be a long shot for me to make the active roster because they had a good amount of vets. They drafted two safeties in my class.
You're like, white.
Yeah, I'm white and slow and stiff. And from
Iowa.
From Iowa, yeah. And so I knew it was going to be a long shot for me to make the active roster, but my goal the whole time was practice squad. I was like, I'm going to do everything I can to make a practice squad. And I got – the reason I say I got so lucky is because L.A. is one of few teams we don't play our starters in the preseason at all. Like, if you're a starter, even like a really good two, like you don't dress for a single game in the preseason.
Wow.
So as a young guy, as a rookie –
Shout out McVay.
The way to make a team, the way to get on any team is to get film. So mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough where I got a bunch of reps in our preseason, and I stayed healthy and I played pretty well. And they basically told me, you know, I got cut. I was expecting to get cut. It still sucks. Doesn't make it any easier. Got cut.
How's that call? How's that go?
Oh, dude, it sucked.
Jake Gervais, I got to talk to you, man.
They give you a call, and I was in the building. They're like, yeah, we're going to bring you in here. Then they sit you down, and they give you a piece of paper of, like, who you're going to go talk to. Everybody signs off. And then everyone's got a different conversation. My conversation was, we're going to cut you. We're going to cut another guy. If this guy gets picked up, we're going to sign you to the practice squad. And once again, I got lucky enough where that guy got picked up by another team. And I got a call the next day saying, hey, I was actually at my boy Austin Blythe's house. He took care of me out there. I was chilling at his house doing some laundry.
And, shout out Austin Blythe, just had a second baby.
He did.
Yep.
Yeah. So got a call the next day saying, yep, we're going to sign you to the practice squad. And got signed to the practice squad. And I was, you know, one of 63 that survived from starting at like 90.
Wow. That is.
It's called getting lucky, boys.
Dude, how many genie's lamps did you rub over the course of the summer to actually create this story?
Just like any time Kevin or I got an interception in Iowa, Coach Park would always say, you know, every once in a while, a blind squirrel finds a nut. That's my life story right now.
Kevin finds a nut All right, I'm not going to go any further than that.
Write a book about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we should have made a book of Coach Parker's quotes because we could make a killing off that.
Oh, I remember. Shit! One year, David Tan was just writing them down in his notebook. He had like at least 3 pages long of just Coach Parker quotes, and that was the notes he took during.
And you can sell
meetings.
It.
We could have made
when it. I was a freshman, and Coach Parker used to go up in front of meetings. I would sometimes get chills because I was so terrified. I was terrified of Coach Parker. And then by the time it was our fifth year, I like thought of Coach Parker as a teddy bear. Like if I needed a hug, I was going to Coach Parker.
No, you weren't. Yeah, not.
I swear, that. Dude. I you, swear God. To you.
You probably
I swear to you.
My no, I don't know. I don't know. You two say no, but I feel like I remember because of you being on the offense and like towards the end, I think you did kind of have
Coach Parker had a great relationship, dude. Yeah. I talked to him all the time in the most friendly manner.
Okay, yeah, but you were not going to him for a hug, all right? Don't.
Well, it was either going to be him or Wallace. I was going to hug one of them.
Wallace would be a good hug. There's a lot of to grip there.
He's a good dude.
Just an unnecessary shot right there.
Well, with all the backhanded compliments that man gave
me. Yeah, honestly, Kevin, that's not unnecessary at all. That's fully fucking warranted.
Now, Gervais, you could be a dude, okay? You could be a dude.
You could be a dude. Need some dogs here.
Got to have some dogs.
You know what type of dog this is?
The will versus the want.
It's a Caucasian mountain dog. Go look it up.
Oh, man. I still
that's
got
the type
that
of dogs
binder.
We need out there.
Still got that Rukumba. Binder.
That's Gervais. That's not a binder. That's a Bible.
Yeah, I still got that Bible downstairs. I'm going to use it when I'm coaching high school football. And
I also still have the punt playbook down in my thing. So you're on the practice squad. So during the season, what does that look like? I hear that it's a pretty good life.
Yeah, it's a good little gig. Obviously you're a part of the team. You're in all meetings. You're at practice, all that good stuff. You get no reps on the actual defense. You're on the scout team defense, given looks. Our system is pretty laid back. So we had game Sunday, come in Monday, lift and run, and a little bit of film. Tuesday's our off day. Wednesday, Thursday were like our long days. You got to walk through a practice, bunch of meetings. Friday is like a quick, easy, fast Friday. And then Saturday is a really, really fast walkthrough. So if you're on the practice squad, week away games, weekends, you got Saturday and Sunday off. And then for home games, we'd sit in the press box and stuff. So it was a good deal. I mean, it's just the hard thing is the NFL season is so long.
It's long.
So long.
It's not over.
Yeah. 3 weeks of the preseason or 3 weeks of camp, 4 weeks of the preseason. You're already at 7 weeks and you haven't even played a game yet. And then you got 16 regular season games. So it was a good deal. Didn't think I was ever going to get a chance to get called up, but one thing led to another and ended up getting called up to the active roster week 7.
And how was that? What was that call like?
It was nice. I felt bad because the reason it happened
did you have
was,
to throw that pair of underwear away or?
I might have. I don't know. But yeah, it was a safety got hurt week 6, kind of messed up his shoulder pretty bad. And there's talks of, he's going to get put on IR, and I was the only safety on the practice squad. And obviously they could sign someone from somewhere else, but I had a pretty good relationship with the safeties coach, pretty good relationship with our special teams coach. And, throughout that week, there's talks of me getting brought up. And then Saturday, the day before we're in Atlanta, the day before the game, the special teams coach comes up to me like while we're rolling out, and he's like, get ready to go. I'm kind of like, because at that point,
and your wiener got a little hard.
Just a smidge. I mean, it's still not that big, but yeah. And at that point, I had been told it's not going to happen. It was like, this week's probably not going to happen, maybe next week. So then when he comes up to me, I'm like, all right, like let's get after it. So then I left a DB meeting. And while I left the end of the DB meeting, there was, the vice president was sitting outside with, a pen and paper. And I signed that little white line. And I was a part of the 53-man roster.
Dude,
and your check got fatter.
Fatter.
He's got a smidge fatter. So he's
got a smidge. Now, exactly. Now, Jake, how many, could you write it down? How many zeros fatter? Because this is personal research. that I need for how much fatter did the check get, and how much am I missing out on?
Let's say I was getting one. California's a bitch. Taxes are tough.
Dude, hey, welcome to the real world.
It's tough.
Because taxes are tough.
Yeah, let's say I was getting, on the P-Squad, I was getting one piece of pizza.
Okay.
On the active roster, I was getting four.
Four pieces of pizza.
You're eating good pizza.
So I went from a fourth. You take a big pizza, you cut it into four. So I was getting one slice, and then at the end, I was eating the whole pizza.
Incidentally, that is how I ate Jack's frozen pizzas during college, and I never ate just 1/4 of the pizza.
Yeah, so I was happy with my
entire pizza.
I was happy with my fourth, but I was still hungry. You know.
Right.
And then once I got to eat the whole pie, it's like, it's a good time. Let's see if I can keep fooling these people, because I don't know what they're thinking, but I'm going to keep fooling the world somehow.
Maybe order two pizzas at some point.
We'll see. I mean, that beggars can't be choosers, but that dog will hunt.
What? This podcast is legendary. What the fuck do we talk about from here? I don't know. Oh. Kevin, I want to know your thoughts on how long that NFL season takes and how much football, how good does that much football sound to you?
Why are you asking me?
I just feel like you would be one of the guys that would just really hate that much football in that period of time.
Yeah, you guys were in the locker room with me. Like, I'm fragile. I'm frail. By week eight, I'm like
small angle.
Like, Kevin, I'm like, I'm like your grandma.
I'm like a little bitch. It's so painful.
And the other thing about
Coach Kevin, Parker would always be like, you look like my fucking mom with those stiff ankles.
The other thing about Kevin is that as the season progresses, he gets exponentially more irritable, and there's reversal.
That's what I'm talking about.
Seasonal depression.
You get to week 12 and you think Kevin is just not in a good place mentally or physically with those knees.
I still don't think he's in a good place mentally. The look he had when we
showed up to this podcast.
Oh my God. Boys, Kev, you want to shed some light on what you've been doing?
I got about 2 hours of sleep last night.
Did you party hard?
Oh yeah. So we FaceTimed you 2 nights ago and you were partying.
Yeah, so we had our national sales meeting down in San Antonio. So
which means you did nothing but party on their dollar.
No, absolutely quite the contrary. We are in meetings all day, every day. And then, you know, at night we could do whatever we wanted. And so we're a bunch of young professionals in a different city. So like, we're going to go to the Riverwalk and we
young professionals.
Yeah. Young professionals.
Who was the baby face guy that was talking shit to me on FaceTime?
That was my boss.
Interesting.
Boss needs to watch his tone, boys.
Jim Voss got a year in the league now. He's a vet. He's telling people to watch their fucking mouth.
He said, I'm full. I ate four pieces.
I ate four pieces of pizza, boy. I'm
I never said I was full. I just
and I got some energy.
I got
a little energy.
Hey, Jake, tell him why you FaceTimed me.
Oh, my gosh. We're playing this game called Buzzed. It's like a drinking game where you pull a card and it's got like a prompt on it. And the prompt was whoever can do the best horse impression, give out a drink. And Haley and Kevin and the other roommates had played this game before, and right away Haley and Mariah are like, yeah, like Kevin's horse impression's like unbelievable. And I'm like, all right, let's FaceTime him. So like, he's at this conference drinking and it's super loud. We're like, Kevin, you gotta do it. He's like, I can't do it. All of a sudden he puts his phone like super close and he does it. It's unbelievable.
Kevin. Oh yeah. The stallion lives. It's incredible.
It's very
Kevin,
nice.
You are a specimen. Oh my God.
So we all raised our glasses and took a drink in Kevin's honor.
That's incredible.
It's good to know. It's a fun game.
God, we're an hour in and there's so much.
This podcast is stupid. We're stupid.
Yeah,
I gotta get going soon though.
Yeah, one more question that I want to bring it back to football with.
Yep.
You're now one rookie season in. At this point, what's your mindset moving forward? Because it's back to that walk on mentality, that hashtag WOM.
Yep, for sure.
where do you go from here? What's the goal? You can't feel, I mean, even the best guys in the NFL, they never feel good about their spot. It's a business. What's the God. Talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I have no shame in admitting that every year I'm going to be fighting, not just for a 53 man spot. I'm going to be fighting for a 63, like even the practice squad. Yeah. So I've got no shame in, you know, the route I'm going to have to take and what I'm going to have to do in order to make a roster, make a team and be a part of a team in some way. So it's, I mean, that's tough because, you know, my future is very unknown. Like you said, I'm getting married, and by that time next year, Haley and I will be married and we'll have to figure some stuff out, but hopefully she'll come wherever I'm at is the plan. But it's just, you just got to find a way to keep getting better. I mean, I've got a lot of things I can work on. You know, I got some feedback from the coaches on what I need to do and what needs to happen for me to, you know, be a contributor next year and make the team some way or somehow. So it just comes down to just stay in shape, work on your weaknesses and be ready to, you know, take advantage of any opportunity I get. So I'm super stoked to be, you know, finished on the 53 man roster, which means I don't have to sign a future contract or anything. I'm with the Rams. I'll be with the Rams in OTAs.
Huge.
Yeah, huge. And hopefully just stay healthy and, you know, try to do what I've done in the past, which is when I get an opportunity, try to take advantage of it and see what happens. So it's stressful, but at the same time, it's what I've signed up for. And if I can, you know, like I said, I'm just going to try to keep fooling these people, find a way to, you know, stick around, whether it's with the Rams or I want to stay with the Rams. That'd be awesome. I love the coaches, love the organization, but just find a way to stick around and keep playing football for as long as I can.
You guys getting your dope new facility.
I know. Well, the thing is, the stadium's going to be insane. I mean, the stadium will be done next year. They haven't even bought the land for the facility yet, which is crazy. Because stuff is so expensive. Like, land is so absurd out there to buy. And right now, like, we're basically in, like, a temporary facility because the Rams, they've only been out in L.A. 3 years. It was kind of on short notice. So the facility we're in now is, like, I mean, it's nice. It gets the job done, but it's nothing compared to, you know, even – to what Iowa's got or other teams in the NFL. So it'll be interesting to see because, I mean, they got to buy that land before they even start building it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
There you go. Over an hour of just true
good times. Washed
up walk-ons content. One that's just trying to keep people from realizing that he's washed up. We, as much as we hate to say it, we're proud of you. We're proud. As a walk-on podcast,
I already told him I'll allow him to claim the 563 now because doing it proud. I used to tell him that he wasn't from the 563 because the real 563 is Muscatine. Shout out, but I let him claim part of it now because
Kevin, are you proud of your son?
Yeah, Jake, you know how much I fucking hate complimenting you, but doing good and I'm proud of you and motherfucker.
Hey boy,
nah, man, you know we love you. Keep going at it.
I appreciate it. You know, us walk-ons are a different breed, so it's I feel honored to be a part of, you know, the squad.
You're at the top. You're repping the walk-on at the top. Well, we need some Jake Gervais merch and I'll buy it.
I've got a long ways to go, boys, but I'm gonna do my best to keep making you proud.
All right, well, we appreciate you joining the show.
Yeah, it was actually more fun than I thought it was going to be. So I'll be back. You know, it was a good time hanging out with you guys.
All right. Well, you
know what it is, guy.
You.
I could have ended on a positive. No, I had to throw a quick jab.
God. All right. Well,
get the fuck off our podcast.
So you guys will never hear from Jake again, but hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Kevin got to finally be a part of it and added some actual good stuff, which I guess means Drake and I will probably keep him around.
See, like, you guys like go around in that group text and then it gets quiet. I'm like, they're probably just talking to each other now, just finding ways to get me off this fucking thing. And, you know, I just wish they'd get it over with already. It's like, just kick me off, please.
Yeah, this young, we got this young professional a part of our podcast. So we just can't have it anymore.
Yeah.
That's it. Number 85. It was a good one. Over an hour of Jake Gervais, Rams, Hawkeyes content.
Hey, boys.
Hope y'all have a fantastic Thursday or Friday when you listen to this and a fantastic weekend. That's it for the walk-ons. We're out.
On Iowa.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.